Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday School. You guys are all ready, and it's a little early, but let's go ahead and get started because you're here, and we can start singing. My name's Craig, by the way. I don't know all of your names, very many of your names, but I'd like to get to know your name. Maybe I will sometime this weekend. So who would have a song to get started with this morning? Yes.
Number five.
Number five, oh happy day that fixed my choice.
Oh happy day that fixed my choice.
Come be my Savior and my God. Well may this loving heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad.
You know, children, there's plenty more seats up here, so if you're just getting here, don't be shy. Don't be afraid to come on up. There's lots of seats left, and we'll make some more room if we need to, okay? So come on up. Be glad to have you. Who else has another song to sing?
Number 45.
45? Okay, yeah. A lot of the kids' songs are on the back, aren't they? Well, mine doesn't have 45. Do you have 45? What do you say? 25? Is that 45? Let me see. Let's see here. Oh, that one's not there anymore, is it? You want to pick a different one? That one's not there anymore. Can we do this one? I like that one a lot. Number 46? Okay. Now let's do number 46. Glad tidings. Glad.
Yeah.
another song.
Who else has a song? Yes. Number six. Okay, that's on the very front. Let's do, we'll do the first and last of number six.
God in mercy sent his son
to the world by sin and none. Jesus Christ was crucified. Was for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face.
How about another song? We've got time for more. Yes. Did you say two? Okay, let's do number two. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. We can do the first and last of that one as well.
Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling.
All right, I think we've got time for maybe one more right now. Yes, sir. 16. We'll do the whole hymn, number 16.
Whosoever heareth
shall shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around, spread the joyful news. Proclamation.
right, children, we might have time to sing a little more, but I know you've said or you've learned some verses, and we're going to give you a chance to say those, okay? Because we'd love to hear that. So let's close our eyes and pray, and then we'll do verses next, all right? Our God and loving Father, we do thank you for your love for us, for your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for this day, this happy day, and this opportunity this morning, especially for the children, but for each of us, that you would bless your word to us. And thank you for these children and the verses they've learned. And we ask for your help and for your honor in what we do and say here this morning. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let me grab the microphone here because we want to be able to hear you too. Who would like to tell us a memory verse that they may have learned this week? We got somebody down here. I'm not going to make you do it. You can volunteer. You want to stand up and talk into this for me?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whoever shall believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Who else has a verse they would like to say? Yes.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. You want to go?
1 Timothy 6:7. For we have not brought anything into this world, and it is certain we cannot bring anything out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you. Anybody else?
We
brought
nothing into this world, and it is certain we can bring nothing out of it, out of this world. First Timothy 6:7.
Very good. All right, yes.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
All right. Got some more over here. Good. Okay.
I'm the way, truth, and life. No man should come unto the Father but by me. John 14:6.
Thank you. Someone over here had their hand up. Okay.
For we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Mm-hmm.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
All right.
Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:6-7.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you. Do you want to say it?
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you. All right. Did you have your hand up? Okay.
For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
All right.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Thank you.
We brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Job. Anybody else want to say the verse? You know, you guys are doing a very nice job. Oh, good. And I just want you to know, there's people sitting behind you, and I know that makes you nervous. It makes me nervous, too, but they just love to hear you say these verses. They're not looking to see if you're going to mess up, okay? They're just listening so hard because they like to hear it. That's why they're paying attention, okay? All right, somebody else over here. I want to give everybody a chance to say it if you want to. You don't have to, but...
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
Very good. Go ahead.
Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55:6.
Very good. Thank you. All right. More over here.
We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can bring nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7.
All right. Anybody else have a verse they want to say? This verse, some of you said, is a very, very interesting verse in 1 Timothy 6:7 there. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I'm going to talk a little bit about that verse and maybe make a gospel application here. Okay, if I look at the verses around here, it's talking about being content. And one of you read the verse before it, or said the verse before it, godliness with contentment is great gain. So there's a lot of things we could get out of this verse. But I'm going to apply it to the gospel this morning a little bit. You know, as we got ready to pack and come here on this trip to this conference, there were a lot of preparations that had to be made, okay? So we were going to be gone a while, and it was a long drive and several stops along the way. So we started packing things, and some of the things we packed were to help us get where we're going. Some of the things we got ready were to enable us to drive and to get to where we wanted to go. These were things like gas for the car. The car needed some work, so we had to do some preparations there. We needed some drinks for the car, you know, a cooler with some drinks, because it's kind of hot in a lot of places here, and we wanted some of that, some snacks, probably some other things. But then there were other things that we were packing, and they were for once we got here, for once we got where we were going. And there was no small discussion about this in our home about what we should bring with us. Would we need it when we got there? You ever have that conversation in your house? I'm sure you do. Well, one of the things that we discussed, our first stop was actually at Grandpa and Grandma's house. And one of the things we discussed was, well, do we need to bring sleeping bags? No. Grandma has sleeping bags. It'll all be provided. We didn't have to bring a bunch of sleeping bags. But there were other things we needed to bring, food and clothes, a little bit of food, not a lot of food, because it's provided here. But I was thinking about another trip, and this verse makes me think of it. It talks about how we got here into this world, and it doesn't matter who you are, children. It doesn't matter whether you're born here in Idaho or some other state or in some other country around the globe. It doesn't matter whether you were born into a rich family or a poor family or any of that. You were all born here the same way I was too. We were born naked and helpless. That's how we were brought into this world, every one of us. Pretty amazing to think about that. Didn't even have clothes. You didn't have clothes. You didn't come with some food. All that had to be provided for by someone that cared for you and me. Thankfully, for most of us, there was a loving mother and father there to provide food and clothing right away. And that's wonderful that would be true. But what about another trip? This verse you said also talks about, well, what does it say? It's certain we can carry nothing out of this world. What about where we're going next? What about that? Where are we going next? Well, in a sense, when we leave this world, either when we die or if the Lord would come, we're going to take a trip. We're going to take a trip somewhere. And if the Lord comes today, which would be wonderful, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to be with the Lord. And you won't need to pack for that trip. He's going to provide everything. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to be with the Lord. It's not what the Bible tells us. We're on our way to a lost eternity, lost in our sins. And that would be very sad. The Lord doesn't want you to go there. I don't want you to go there. But He's made a way for us to where we can go to be with Him in heaven. I'm going to read a few verses. You don't have to turn to these, but if you want to, you can. But I'm just going to read several or quote them. It says, "The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Lord doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to perish. Instead, it says, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The Lord Jesus came into this world to provide a way for us to have life. Sometimes it calls it eternal life. And one of you said John 3:16 over there about that talks about having eternal life. Whosoever believeth in Him, that's the Lord Jesus, have eternal life. That's wonderful. So that's how we can be on the right path to heaven, to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and be ready for where we're going. There's another verse one of you, I think, said this morning in John 14. Who said the verse in John 14? I don't remember. Someone did. The Lord Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, children, we can't earn our own way to heaven. We can't work to get to heaven. We can't do good things to get to heaven. The Lord Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I'll tell you a little story. A few years ago, we were on another trip, and this was down in Florida at the beach. You know, you like to go to the beach. Anybody like to go to the beach? Especially in the winter. It's nice. It's warm, sunny. The ocean is beautiful. But some of us were down at the beach, and we needed to rent some umbrellas and some shade and some chairs to sit on. So we're talking to the man there that rented that equipment to us. And somehow, as we're talking to this man, he realized we were Christians. I don't remember all the details. But we got to talking about that. And as soon as he found out we were Christians, he started saying, "Well, yeah, I believe there's lots of ways to God." And he started telling us what he thought about this and that and the other thing. And you know, this was a nice man. We didn't want him to be confused about this. This is pretty important. So somebody that I was with told him this verse. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? It's not more than one way to heaven. So we told the man that, and I don't know what he did. I think he changed the subject. And he started telling us, "Well, I've been going to this church recently." And he started telling us a little bit about his church. And so I asked him, I said, "How do you get to your church?" And he started giving me directions. "Well, you turn on this street and you go up to the second light, and then he turned left, and I wasn't paying that much attention to his directions because I wasn't interested in how to get to his church. I was trying to make a point. Okay, I was trying to make a point. And then I pointed out to the ocean. I said, "You mean I can't go that way to get there?" I pointed out to the ocean. He looked at me and he said, "No, there's only one way." And that's all he said. But, you know, I hope that man got saved. I hope he realized that you don't get to pick this way or that way or whatever way sounds good. There is only one way. The Lord Jesus is the way. So, where are you going? How do you get there? You know, the Lord Jesus has provided that for us. It wasn't, salvation to you and me is free. It doesn't cost us anything, but it was very expensive for Him, for the Lord Jesus to provide for us in this trip to heaven. If you want to think of it as a trip, He had to come into this world and suffer and die for our sins on the cross. The sins that you and I have committed, He had to pay the price for them. And He did. He paid the price in His own blood. And that's the only way to get to heaven. You know, and if the Lord leaves us here, next meeting is the breaking of bread. And we'll have on the table, there'll be a couple of things, right? There'll be a loaf and a cup. And those, one of the things we're thinking about in that meeting is the cost of our salvation. It's the cost so that you and I can have a way to heaven, a way to the Father's house, to be saved, to have eternal life, the abundant life He speaks of. That body that he took as a man, suffered, bore my sins, and died. The cup of wine on the table reminds us of His precious blood that was shed there, the price of our salvation. So that's the cost for this very expensive salvation that you and I can know and have. And I hope that each of you children know and have. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. It's the only way. You know, we're talking about packing for trips. One of the things we pack, and as we were packing, one of the main things was clothes. I wish, as we had been packing, that I had thought of the next verse because, let me turn there, the next verse after 1 Timothy 6:7 is, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." I wish we had remembered that when we're packing, but I didn't think of that. What about when we get to heaven? Will we be prepared? You know, I think you know we can't drive in a car to heaven. I think you know you can't hop on an airplane. Some of you probably rode on an airplane to get here. That's kind of fun. But you can't get to heaven in an airplane. What about a rocket? What about a rocket ship? Could you get to heaven in a rocket ship? Not the Father's house. No, no. That wouldn't work either. And even if we somehow could get there, we wouldn't be happy in these bodies or in lost in sin. We wouldn't be prepared to enjoy that wonderful place at all. We'd be miserable. So that's why the Lord Jesus is the way. He gives us the life. He even will give us a new body. Amazing. That's prepared for that place. And I was thinking about that, though. What are we going to have? Do we need to pack for heaven? Maybe we should bring a little bit of stuff with us. We can't. And there's a verse I'll read in Revelation I thought of that's really neat. It's talking about a bride. And this bride, we know, is the church. It's you and I. If we belong to the Lord Jesus, we're part of this. And it says in Revelation 19:8, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." How about that? Lord Jesus has done everything. He's done everything for us. He's prepared a way. I didn't read, I don't think I read this verse. I should read in John 14. I'm going to read one more verse in John 14, okay? The Lord Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's wonderful. The Lord has done for us. And I hope each of you children knows where you're going, knows the Lord Jesus. He is the way. And, you know, he's prepared it all because of what he's done on the cross for us. We have a little bit of time, so I'm going to suggest we sing a song. Let's do number 42. Number 42 on the back of your hymn book there. A little child of seven. Well, we have a little bit of time left, about 13 minutes, so I've got another activity that I would like to do. It's a little bit related to the verse you said, but not quite so much, because in that chapter where that verse is, it talks about being content with things that we have. So we're gonna do a little activity that will require a couple of volunteers. Is that all right? But I'm going to warn you, if you volunteer, I need two volunteers, you have to like Snickers. So it may exempt some of you. But this young lady says she likes Snickers. What's your name? Shiloa? Okay, maybe you can be my helper. You can just wait for now, and maybe I'll get a boy. Are you volunteering or being volunteered? What's your name? Say again. Emmett. Shiloa and Emmett. Okay, so what I need help with is we pack too much stuff, and one of the things that's in our car is candy, Snickers, and I need help eating it. Can you help me with that? Okay, good. All right, I knew I could count on you. But first, we're going to talk about a Bible story, okay, because there's a lesson here. It's not about eating Snickers. So there's a story in the Bible I thought of. In Genesis 13, about two men named Abraham and Lot. And we're going to talk about that story just a little bit, Shiloa and Emmett, and then I'll let you help me, okay? So in Genesis 13, I won't read the whole story. I'll kind of paraphrase it a little bit because for sake of time. But Abraham and Lot were family. And they had a lot of possessions. God had made Abraham rich, it says, in cattle and silver and gold. And apparently Lot had plenty of those things as well. And so there was a problem because Abraham and Lot weren't fighting, but some of their herdsmen were striving and fighting. So there wasn't enough water maybe for all the cattle, or maybe there wasn't enough room or enough food. And so there started to become some friction between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. So Abraham, who is the older of the two, said to Lot, he said, okay, we need to go different directions here. The whole land is before you. You pick where you want to go, and then I will take the other way. All right? Where they were going to split up their herds so there wouldn't be this fighting anymore. Okay? You get the picture? All right, so what happened? Lot, he looked, and I'll just read the verses because this is very interesting. Verse 10 of chapter 13, if you got your Bible there. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. So, Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. This is a good agricultural decision. There's a lot of water there. And that left Abraham with what? The leftovers, right? Yeah. Maybe not the good land, but that's what Lot did. And it says in the next verse, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it unto thy seed forever. Isn't that nice what the Lord said to Abraham? Well, this is a bigger story, and we're not going to go into all of it. I mean, you are probably familiar with it. It didn't go so well for Lot, did it? You know, he chose the better land, but it's a sad story of Lot because he ended up losing almost everything he had. He lost his possessions. He lost even his wife. Two of his daughters survived with him because God was going to judge that land. He had to judge that land. And Lot was all caught up in the middle of it, wasn't he? Even though he was a righteous man. So it's kind of a sad story for Lot and a happy one for Abraham and how God provided for him and promised him great things in spite of taking the lesser portion, you might say here. So we've just had a story about choosing a portion. I've got a candy bar here that I had in the car, and I need my volunteers to help me here to eat it. Now, I've already divided it into two pieces for you, so you don't have to do that. You want to take a look at this, Emmett and Shiloh. Got two pieces here. See that? That look about right? Okay. You're going to help me eat this. I'm not going to eat it. I don't need it. Shiloh, how old are you? 9. Okay. Emmett, how old are you? 6. Okay. Shiloh, you're the older. You're 9. So I'm going to ask you to take the lead here, okay? If you're going to pick which of these pieces to take, which one do you want to take? Now, hang on a second. I'm going to ask you to be really honest. I know there's a lot of pressure because there's a lot of people watching you. But pretend it's just you and me, and you're going to be really honest. Which piece do you want of these two? It's not a trick question. I know which one I would want. Would you want the bigger one or the smaller one? You would want the smaller one. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, she says she would want the smaller one. How about you? You might make this whole exercise a lot easier. You said the bigger one? Okay, all right. Well, remember the story. Abraham, he was the older one, so he was really kind to his younger friend. He let him choose first, so maybe we should. What do you think? You could be just the older one, take the lead and just pick the one you want, right? You could do that. So you're thinking about him. Okay. Well, that's good because I'm pretty sure he wants the bigger one too. I'm pretty sure you're right about that. We're going to get along just fine. Okay. So I'm going to let you decide how this goes. Are you going to, you take first pick or do you want to give him first pick? He can have first pick. Okay. Emmett, she said you can have first pick. All right. Took the bigger one. You get that one. Feel free to eat it. Enjoy that. That's fine. Okay. So I just wanted you all to think a little bit about this story and how it went down for Abraham and Lot. Don't worry. I'm sorry. All you that did not get picked, I have a treat for you, by the way. So don't be too disappointed. I didn't want you to be disappointed. But I can't help but think that in the story of Abraham and Lot, that things might have gone a lot better for him, for Lot, if he had made a different choice or at least considered differently in this choice. He was thinking about himself, wasn't he, and what he thought that would make him content, what would bring him happiness and his wealth and so on. And that's the way we are, naturally. We're very selfish. And we have to consider others. We have to consider the Lord and what the Lord has done for us and how we treat others as well. So I thought I would try to bring in a little different lesson here. I need one more volunteer, and it would be really cool if your name started with J. Does anybody here have a name that starts with J? Yeah, I've got one. What's your name? Jessa. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to do anything hard. Do you know how to read, though, Jessa? Okay. Can you come up here a second? I got something for you, and you can keep this. Hold that up for everybody to see, and then I want you to read what's on the front of it. Okay, so it's a letter. It's a letter J. What does it say? Jesus first. Okay. All right. Shiloah, I'm going to have you hold up this one here. You can stand up here by Jessa if you don't mind. Go ahead and stand up here. What does your letter say? Others next. Okay. And Emmett, I've got one for you here too. Come on up here and hold this up. All right, Emmett, do you know what that says on the front there? It says, yourself last, John 13:17. Okay, so Jessa, can you read, I'll open it up here for you, a verse, John 13:14, because I think it's a good one, or 13:17, it's right here at the top, it starts out if. Let me get a microphone so we can all hear you when you read it, okay? Is that all right? Here.
If you know these things, happy are you if you do them.
All right, thank you. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. These letters here, Jesus first, others next, yourself last, spell joy. And I thought that would be maybe something we can remember when we have choices in life about whether we're going to put me first or the Lord first. How can we put the Lord first? How can we do that? Lots of ways. You know, even coming to Sunday school might be a way you put the Lord first. You have to get up and get ready. What about singing in meeting? Is that a way you can put the Lord first? Can you sing in meeting to the Lord? Can you say thank you to the Lord? You sure can. Hope you do. Can you pray and give thanks at mealtime? You know, you all can sit down and you may keep these letters. Thank you for your help. Thank you. There's lots of ways you could put the Lord first. Giving thanks for your meal, saying thank you. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us as children to obey our parents in the Lord. You know, so these are things that we can do to put the Lord first. And putting others. This isn't the gospel, by the way. This is for all of us. If we're Christians, we need to do this. These are things we can do. And you know, putting others before ourselves, that's not natural to us. It's not easy. And ourself last, as the Emmett has the letter Y there. So maybe you can help, these things will help you remember this. And we are now out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. After I pray, I've got a little bit of candy for all of you. You can come up and get. There's also some Sunday school papers here. So don't forget to get that, okay, before you leave. All right, so let's look to the Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. And thank you that even though it cost you so much, that your salvation is free and available to all now. Pray that none would delay. Pray that these dear children would come to know you at an early age. And thank you for your tender care over each of us as our Lord, as our shepherd. And help us not to be selfish, too. Help us to treat others as you have treated us, and with so much kindness and grace. So we just ask for help in these things and give thanks for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.